This podcast is produced by KPP Financial. Steve Peasley, President. KPP Financial. Independent thinking, shared success. And now today's podcast.
Everybody, and welcome to the March 8th edition of Invest Talk, above average investing for the average investor. So the Trump tariffs moved closer to implementation today. Trump indicated today he will announce new tariffs next week. Now, it looks like Canada and Mexico will be excluded. Remember, I talked about this yesterday. I didn't know this. By the way, this is this is the button that has been pushed before. Did you know that? Richard Nixon did it in the 70s. George W. Bush did it. You know, tariffs. And then, of course, we all know that Trump campaigned against what he called unfair trade practices, right? Trade deals. And, now he's going to think about making concessions. This was I mentioned yesterday. The NAFTA deal has been going nowhere. This is a ploy. I mean, there's a purpose to it, of course, but also a ploy to get that NAFTA deal going. And I mentioned yesterday, Canada is the largest importer or exporter to us, and we import from them since steel. So he's just trying to negotiate a better NAFTA deal. And then he's using this part of the negotiation. He's a businessman, guys. He's not a smooth politician. It's just not going to happen. We're going to have to get used to his unusual politics. That's just the way it's going to be. Now, the market, of course, got all upset about it when it was announced. And, today it was up 95 points. So, not much worry about it now. Now, do you want to talk about this kind of news? Or is there something more personal on your mind you want to discuss? Let's get to work. Let's answer some questions. It's always the best time. Our 24-hour list line is always open. 888-99-CHART, and let's talk to Matt in Washington State. How you doing, Matt?
I'm doing well. How are you, Steve?
Good. Thank you for the call. I do appreciate you calling and listening.
Yeah, definitely. All right, so my brother reached out to me today and told me that he's got $70,000 that he wants to put into some sort of short-term investment, but he wants access to it, and he's planning on withdrawing it in the next 1 to 3 years. He doesn't want to hold cash, but he also wants to, minimize his risk. And so okay. I was wondering if there are any short-term investment options out there that you'd recommend.
Yeah, there are. For instance, yesterday someone called, and I wish I could remember the symbol, but I can't, about a short-term ultra short-term bond fund. It was 1 to 3 months maturity, and you were getting about a little less than 2% on it, which is a lot better money than money market, but that might be more conservative than he wants, Matt. But there is such a thing out there that can give you a little bit more money, at least stay up with inflation. Okay, very
right.
Short-term bond fund. Okay, so there's something very safe. And if you have... Go ahead.
Yeah, is there anything you could recommend that's maybe a little bit more risky than that? Maybe like a 4% return or so?
Yes, he can do a bond ladder, actually own the bond. How much money are we talking about here?
It's $70,000.
He can build a bond ladder with 1 to 3 year maturities. In other words, he can buy $7,000 bonds. And that won't get him at 3 years. It won't get him necessarily 4%, but it'll get him probably about 3 to 3.5%. And
okay.
He can, but the problem is he's got to buy the bonds. You got to find the bonds. And he buys the bonds and hold them to maturity. You just hold them to maturity. And they're very liquid. If you buy high quality bonds, you could sell them all in one day if you want to. But it'd be wiser to hold on to maturity. And then that will give him a much better return, but it's going to be a little higher risk, too. Okay, Matt?
Okay. And then...
Appreciate
what
it. Go ahead.
What was that?
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
What if you were to spread it around a few high dividend yield stocks like Southern Company and I guess AT&T. What would you say about that option?
All those big blue chip, high dividend paying type companies are very, very reliable on their dividends, but they will fluctuate in their value. I mean, they won't fluctuate dramatically unless there's a crash or a recession. But if we go into a recession between 1 and 3 years from now, which is likely, to be personally honest, I think we will, not 1 year, but maybe 3 years out, even those will drop very sharply, and therefore he'll lose principal. And I don't know if he wants to do that. Those are more of a long-term hold for the dividends kind of things, and over long terms, they will go up. But if he sprinkles those in, he's sprinkling a lot more risk, even though they're pretty darn safe companies.
Okay.
Okay.
Awesome. That is my
Thanks,
question.
Matt.
Thank you, Steve.
Thanks for the call. I appreciate it. Let's go to Andy in New York, or can we do that? We got a break, guys? Andy in New York, how you doing?
How's it going, Steve?
Good. Thanks for the call.
So I had a question about CELG. I think you talked about this maybe last week, but since then the stocks pulled back a little bit. I think they had some bad news with respect to one of their drugs or something. But fundamentally, everything remains kind of the same. Just wanted to see if you have a change of opinion or something.
Okay, let me take a quick look at it, if you don't mind. Let's see. And this is Celgene Corporation, everybody. Develops therapeutics to treat cancer. Yeah, I remember talking about it. I wish I remember exactly what I said about it. That's a problem with, you know, when you do a show and you do podcasts, that's in records forever. So you can't, like, say, oh, I don't think I said that. I do like it. I mean, the numbers are very strong as far as growth. Yeah, I think this is only an opportunity to buy it. I really do. If someone wanted, you know, to buy, I mean, we're talking about a P/E ratio of 12, and the five-year range is 12 to 33, and earnings are going to go up 14% this year and 20% next year. It's a $91 stock. It's going to make $10.14. Okay, so maybe it's not going to make $10.14. Maybe it's going to make $9.90 or something, you know, okay? Well, it's a $91 stock. That's a 10 PE, and that's below its five-year average. So, no, I think this is an opportunity. I think you buy it.
Right, okay, cool. I had another symbol if you had time.
Sure. I think, do we have time? Okay, go ahead, real quick.
Four Industries, PHO.
PHO. I'm going to have to take a quick break here. They're yelling at me in my ears. After the break, okay, Andy? So what else are you going to talk about this hour, everybody? Here are some of the topics we're going to get to. How should money asset allocation change as you get older? And that's going to be one of the topics. I'm going to talk about J.P. Morgan, the co-president, about what he said. And then former Bank of England economist, what he's talking about his QE. And then finally, the ECB and what they're thinking about doing. It's going to be a little bit European today. So this is InvestTalk, everybody. I'm financial advisor Steve Peasley. Here's something to think about when we're talking about investors reacting to news. By the time you can make a trade in response to some kind of news event, it's almost always too late. Don't trade on some news event. The market has already incorporated, already reacted. You're not fast enough. But it's not too late to ask questions. We're just getting started. 888-99-CHART is how you get through right now.
You're listening to Invest Talk. Researching a stock? The debt to equity ratio compares a company's total debt to shareholders' equity. And both of these numbers can be found on a company's balance sheet. You have questions about that? Call and ask. 888-99-CHART is how to reach Invest Talk right now.
Andy, are you still there?
Yeah, still here.
Okay, I look up PHO, that's Power Shares Water Resource, and it's an exchange traded fund.
Four Industries, PHOR.
Oh, P-H-O-R. Oh, well, hold on.
Your idea was... My bad.
Oh, okay. Not your bad. It's my bad hearing. Okay. Is that T as in Tom, H-O-R?
Yes. Yeah, that's the one.
Thor. Okay, that's a...
I think the symbol is T-H-O, though.
T-H-O.
Yeah.
Okay. Yes, it is. Okay, because T-H-O-R was not coming up, and I was thinking, uh-oh.
Yep.
T-H-O, punch it in, and that's the software. Okay, manufacturers, recreation vehicles? Oh, yeah, Thor,
yep,
I know.
That's one.
And in U.S., Canada, and under the Airstream and other brand names, the stock is growing very well. This stock does very good in a growing economy. They do very well, and it's been growing for some time. So their sales increased 24% the last quarter, 30% the quarter before that, 50% the quarter before. I mean, for like 2 years, every quarter it's going up 20 to 50% a quarter. And their earnings are likewise up 31% this year, and they're going to be up 12% next year. It's a $10.45 per share next year, and it's a $120 stock. So it's not quite as cheap as the other one, but it is fairly reasonably priced. Okay,
right.
The growth rate, and let's see, it is a $6.3 billion company, so a mid-cap, verging on the big cap. Management owns 5% of the company. Mutual funds are buyers. Okay, so you notice that the chart fell from 180 down to 120. Okay,
right.
To me, this too is a good buying point. You won't get very much,
point,
don't
right.
expect much on the dividend, but this is a good buy point right here. It had a pretty
right.
volatile day today. I mean, pretty up and down. But I think this is trying to find support right around 120 to 125. So
cool. Okay.
I kind of like it.
So
here.
Since it's like into RVs and things like that, it probably
uh-huh.
makes sense to be aware that if like the closer we get to a recession, that's where this one's going to start tanking, right? Because people obviously aren't going to spend
that's
that much
correct.
Money and stuff like that.
It'll have
so,
a hard time.
That's the only thing. It's not going to be like this super long-term hole that you just hold forever. It's going to be a little careful
no,
of
I wouldn't.
When to get up.
Yeah. Yeah, if you see, Andy, if you see a recession on the horizon, you start getting out of Thor.
Get out of this time. All
okay.
right, cool. All right. Thanks
for the call. Yeah, you don't wait till the recession hits. It's way too late. The stock will already be crushed. And the reason for the recent weakness was all about the steel tariffs. And I think it's much to do about nothing, as I said before. 888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. So how should your strategy, your investment strategy change as you get older? There are rules of thumbs. I don't really care for rules of thumbs, but I think it's good to know what they are, and maybe they'll apply for you. And the rule of thumb is, as you get older, you put more and more bonds on. But see, that rule of thumb worked great for, 30 years or so when interest rates were slowly falling all those years. But now we have bottomed. So now the interest rates will rise. Having more and more bonds gets, your returns are going to be worse and worse and worse. Now, if you buy the bonds and hold them to maturity and build a ladder of them and reinvest them as the interest rates go up, You can work through the rising rates interest rate. But if you buy bond funds or bond ETFs, you're going to have a much more difficult time. So you want to be buying some bonds themselves. Buy them at par, let them mature at par, collect the yield, and you'll be fine. But there is a rule of thumb that, for every, when you get older, if you're 50 years old, you have 50% in bonds. There's that kind of rule of thumb. You're 60 years old, you have 60% bonds. I don't really care for it, but there it is. More about that after break, maybe. This is Invest Talk, everybody. There's a jobs report coming out tomorrow. What should you look for? Economists are expecting a drop to about a 4% rate. Wages. The last report was up. Give me a call. 888-99-CHART.
InvestTalk continues on a service of KPP Financial. From more conservative to more aggressive to income producing. Want to take a look at the range of investment programs from KPP Financial, independent thinking, shared success. This is Invest Talk. Check in now at 888-99-CHART.
Hello, Steve. This is Matt from Colorado. I just had a quick question for you. I'm curious about two different stocks that seem to correlate. One is FAZ, and the other one is FAS. They seem like what they do is they track the bull and bear markets, and you're, I guess, hedging a bet on either or. I was wondering if you could provide more information about those stocks and exactly what those stocks mean, and if it would be worth it to maybe start investing in some of them, especially the bear market one, if we are entering into a bear market. I love the podcast and always listening. Thanks for the great information. Thanks. Bye.
Okay, two things. These are not stocks. They're ETFs. Make sure you differentiate those things in your mind. A stock represents a company. An ETF represents a group of companies or a strategy or using different things. So try to separate those. It's not a stock, it's an ETF. And this is the FAZ is a direction financial bear. Exchange traded funds seeking performance corresponding to 300%, the inverse of the Russell 1000 financial service indexes. So these are what they call leverage when you have something like this. So the problem you have here is the bear, meaning they are short, meaning that if the market goes down, the financial index, Russell 1000, goes down, this would go up. And so your thinking is, if it is a bear market, this will work. But we're not in a bear market. We're not moving into a bear market. So don't think that yet. Okay, you got to wait till we see the horizon of the next recession. We don't see that yet. So I would not entertain these right now, and I would not entertain a 300% leverage fund or any leverage funds. If you want to short that, you can short the financial index. There is a short that does that, and that will actually short the stocks. When they use leverage on this, they are not shorting the stocks, the underlying stocks. What they're doing is they're making agreements with third parties on the other side of the trade to do the leveraging. These agreements are with different parties, different financial institutions that say they will perform like the underlying layer, underlying index, and they'll do it 200 or 300%. And I find that they're not able to do it when there's very much stress in the market. And some of them will go out of business and can't do what they say they were going to do. So be very, very careful about this, about these leveraged funds. I would not use them. Let's go to Wesley in Stockton. How you doing, Wesley?
Doing great, Steve. Thank you for putting me on again.
Thank you.
I was calling, have a question about some ETFs that came across. They're leveraged, and we already know what you think about leveraged ETFs, but it's FNGU, Frank, Natalie, George, Yolanda. And they have an inverse also, Frank, Natalie, George, Danielle. I was wondering, what would you think about them as more like of a trading device, because they are ETFs that revolve around the FANG stocks?
Now, you can use them as a trading device, Wesley. As a trading instrument, I feel better about using those leveraged funds. Now, this is this FNGU is very, very new. Very, very new.
Yeah, like 3 months.
Exchange-traded, mm-hmm. Yeah. Exchange-traded note seeking performance corresponding to the New York Stock Exchange FANG Index. FANG, Facebook, Apple, Netflix, and Google. Now, those stocks skyrocketed last year. I wouldn't expect that to happen again this year, Wesley. I don't. It probably won't. Okay? And reason being is because they skyrocketed. Have you ever noticed that when 1 year something does very well, the following year it does never do very well? It's very common in my industry. Not that those stocks aren't very good stocks. It's just that they're now very expensive. So to hope that they will go up is kind of optimistic, okay? They'll go up.
Well, they do
don't
have
get me wrong. But
they do have an index fund. They do have an inverse for it, too. It's with a D instead of a U at the end.
If yeah, you want to so play you can bear, play that game. Form. Yeah, that you can do, Wesley. You can do it on short-term trading, and, you know, it's difficult, but that would be much better than trying to think of them as just buy and hold. As a trading instrument, you're going to have swings.
I'm just thinking of them as more like a mad money, wait till the wave stops of this voluntarily, or, you know, the craziness going on, up and down movement.
Yeah, volatility. Uh-huh. Well, that might be a way to play it. I don't have a problem with that, but just be very careful. Okay?
Yes.
Thanks, Wesley. I appreciate the call. So what's coming up on the next Invest Talk? Can you pass the financial smarts test? That will be one of the topics on our Friday Invest Talk. It's tomorrow. Right now, we want to hear your talking point. What do you want to talk about? Call me, 888-99-CHART.
Our podcast continues next on Invest Talk. One of the KPP financial solutions that help solve today's retirement puzzles is waiting for you. How do you get the income you need in retirement without the kind of risk that you just don't feel comfortable with? KPP Financial has a whole catalog of investment programs suited for today's investment climate and designed to suit your real-life situation today. Would you like to know more about the Balanced Income Program, for example? You can call 888-99-CHART and follow the prompts or ask Steve directly about it. Just click on Contact Steve on InvestTalk.com and your note will go directly to him and he'll answer your question. The Balanced Income Program is one solution from KPP Financial. And now let's get back to the podcast. This is Invest Talk, and we're here to help you become more familiar with the basics of investing, how to start managing your portfolio, how to reduce risk, and make smarter choices. And we're here to answer your questions, too. Talk to Steve right now. The anytime number, 888-99-CHART.
888-992-4278. So, we all know, I don't know if you heard this, but European Central Bank leaves rates unchanged. And only thing they did was drop the bias of easing. In other words, they're still full bore QE, quantitative easing. I read an article in relations to that somebody, some person who knows, says that it's possible that QE will be forever in Europe. Now, what does this mean? QE, quantitative easing. That means they're going to have permanent easy money in Europe. Interest rates are going to stay low. They're going to try to keep them low. There's absolutely no reason for them to have zero or negative interest rates, and that's what they have. Zero or negative interest rates. And their economy is starting to grow strong like ours. Starting to pick up. It started to pick up last year, and it's continuing this year. And yet, they maintain QE at full bore. Now, I don't know if you remember, but when there was this years ago when we were starting to come out of the recession, we were starting to come out, but we were still very weak. Our Federal Reserve did not raise the rates and kept it low. And this was like 2010, 2011. And Europe started, the ECB, European Central Bank, started to raise rates a little bit. Threw them back into recession immediately. I'm pointing this out to tell you that the ECB are not, okay, I don't want to say that they're stupid. How about that they're wrong? How about just that they're wrong? They should be raising the rates to fight the next recession like our Federal Reserve. I think our Federal Reserve is too slow and raising the rates, okay? But ECB is even slower. They're not even raising rates. They don't even think they're going to raise the interest rates. Why is that a problem? Because it distorts normal financial conditions. And what happens when we actually go into another recession? What happens to them? How negative do you think they can push the interest rates to try to get out of the recession? It doesn't work. They should have realized the negative interest rates didn't work. That's not what's causing them their economy to grow. It's a normal economic cycle that helped them get out of this. And so I just think they're being awful foolish about not raising interest rates when they can do it, because they're going to need to lower interest rates to help get through the next recession. Anyways, let's go to Zach in San Jose. How you doing, Zach?
Very good, Steve. How are you doing today?
I'm good, and I thank you for the call.
Good. I have a question regarding PPIs at Temple. My parents were some financial advisor recommended this stock to them about 20, 25 years ago. And they, the name has been changed around, they've been bought out. So now they call themselves PPI. So recently it's gone up a lot. So I was wondering, is that time for her to cash out? The children are lost for a while. And she has, I think they have already recouped some of their losses.
Yes.
Now that the game,
time to cash out.
Do you think should we get out now? So it's gone up a lot in the last few days.
Yes, yes. This is why. This is, Transcontinental Realty. It acquires and develops residential and commercial real estate properties, primarily in high growth markets, but they don't make money. They haven't made money. They haven't made money in years. And their growth is only anemic at 6% sales growth. And it's a very small company, microcap. You take your money and run. This is not a safe company, Zach. It's not. I would not be in this company. Okay?
That's what I thought.
Thanks for the call.
She was the patient enough for 20 years.
Yeah. Yeah. See, come on. You know, how much time do you give it, you know? It's a time to get out. Go find something better. Thanks, Zach. Appreciate it. John in Santa Cruz. How you doing, John?
Good. Thank you for taking my call. I wanted to ask you about this group of ETFs that Vanguard has just put out. They're factor-based ETFs, and the one in particular is V as in Victor, F, M as in Michael, F.
Okay. Okay, this is brand new. There's a Vanguard U.S. multi-factor exchange-traded fund seeking investment results corresponding to the U.S. multi-factor ETF. Now, that's funny. So this is exchange-traded fund seeking investment results corresponding to another ETF called the multi-factor ETF. That just kind of makes me laugh. That tells you these people are getting desperate. These ETFs are putting more and more and more ETFs out there, and they're trying to figure out how they can slice and dice them so that that anybody who wants anything could buy it. This is a very low volume ETF, John. I'd be very concerned. It's brand new, so we really don't have
illiquid.
Much information. Yeah, mm-hmm. It's pretty darn illiquid. I mean, the average volume is about 11,000 shares in a day. So that's very, very low.
What's the minimum amount of volume in an ETF that you would find acceptable per day? Average volume.
Well, if I was an individual like you, probably 20, 30, maybe 40, 20 to 40,000. Okay, that gives you enough liquidity that you can get out, you as an individual, you know, anytime you want without affecting the price. Unless you buy, you know, $1 million worth, but normal buy. This kind of volume, man, you know, if you had to sell 1,000 shares of this or 100, even 100 shares, you'd probably have a pretty wide spread on the price, and it would be difficult to get out. So I would kind of avoid it, John, just because of that. Thank you for the call. Appreciate it. U.S. consumer prices rose 0.5% in January, the biggest monthly increase since 2012, everybody. I know it sounds like small, 0.5% in January, but that's big. So that tells you that inflation is rising, and core inflation is rising. It is rising. There's upward pressure on it. Now, if you want to know more about the details of this, you just go visit investtalk.com, click on the InvestTalk tab, and then look for the Income Marketplace. You'll see more than a handful of really interesting and I think important articles that we gather for you from very credible financial news sources. We just try to make sure we get good, solid information. It's right there on investtalk.com.
Do you have an active 401k? Do you feel active in your management of it? Well, many employees feel that they have little real control and fewer choices than they'd like. That's why KPP Financial thinks you might like to know more about active 401k. This is a 401k management program that guides towards the best possible choices in your employer's plan. Find out more on InvestTalk.com. Look for active 401k.
888-99-CHARP. J.P. Morgan, co-president, warns of a deep correction. That's what he warned. Okay. That was the headline, right? Oh, no. Well, you got to read the article because they try to grab your attention. They always do this on TV and written material, try to grab your attention. It's not a deep correction when he mentions 40% fall. That's not a correction. That's a bear market. And he was talking between 2 and 3 years from now. He's talking about we'll erase at least the last 2 years' growth. That's what he's thinking. That is a bear market. I have no doubt that we are eventually going to go into a bear market. That is not even a... Yeah, we are. How many years down the road? 2, 3 years? I'm thinking more like 3 now because of the passage of the tax cut. If we didn't get that, I would be sooner. Could be 2 years, but 2 or 3 years. And this is really not even news. I hate to tell people this. This is not even news. I mean, we are always going to move into a recession. We go from recession to expansion. The expansion periods last longer. Recession periods are shorter. The market goes from bear market to bull market. The bear markets are usually sharper and faster than the bull markets. But a bear market could be a year, 2 years. It could last a long time. But they are usually much shorter than the bull markets. It's simple as that. Okay? So even though there's big headlines, it's not really. Let's go back to the 24-hour listen line anytime, 888-99-CHART.
Hi, guys. This is Sam from Tennessee. I had a question regarding ETFs. I have a couple of geographic-specific ETFs, one in India, one China. And these expense ratios are somewhere between 0.5 and 0.6. A couple of weeks ago, I noticed that Franklin Templeton has rolled out their own line of geographic-specific ETFs, competitors to the ones I'm in, that are 3 or 4 times cheaper. Now, I don't know if they're good or not, but if we can assume that they are comparable, that they are, that, you know, all things equal, what sort of things do you want to think about if you wanted to, say, go from one ETF to one that was cheaper? The other issue is these Franklin Templeton ETFs, they're also very illiquid. I'm hesitant to get in them. I mean, I can't even place a market order. I have to place a limit order. You know, there's only 400 or 500 shares tops that are being traded on these ETFs per day. I want to ask, what sort of things would I want to think about before I would move funds from one ETF or fund to another fund that's cheaper? What's the smart way to do that? And number two, how do I want to think about an illiquid fund that's new? Do I kind of want to just sit back and wait till that becomes liquid? I would just be interested to hear what you guys think about that. Thanks.
Yeah, I'm not, as you heard me talk before with John, I'm not keen on an illiquid ETF. And you heard me talk about, you know, 20 to 40,000 shares traded a day would be something that an individual can invest in and not be too concerned with. The illiquidity is an issue because then you're not, there's a spread between the bid and the offer. It gets, the more illiquid it is, the more difficult it is. Remember, you want to sell it at some point. What if there's not a buyer on the other side? You got to have a buyers and sellers and buyers. It's got to be both ways. So the more illiquid it is, the more dangerous it is. I would wait till it becomes more liquid. Also, the expense ratio is the expense ratio. That sounds pretty low, but just make sure that's all the fees involved. Sometimes there's other kinds of fees that they don't call expense ratio. So just me, that means you have to do the dreaded reading of the prospectus that no one wants to do. But all the fees will be listed in there. Appreciate the call. Thank you. Let's go to Michael in Santa Clara. How you doing, Michael?
Hey, Steve. I have a question for you about ALK, Alaska Airlines.
Yes.
I'm looking to buy some. Looks like it's been stuck at about 60, 65 trading rates for a while towards the 52-week low. Seems like a solid company, well-run company. They just took over Virgin America. So I want to get your opinion on this. Mm-hmm.
Okay, just so you know, Michael, I'm not very keen on airlines. There's a couple of industries I don't really care. Airlines and automobiles, two of the areas I don't like. And one of the, and you know, I have specific reasons why I've never liked them. One is there's a lot of unions that can very easily disrupt the business, you know, going on strike. Another is airlines are subject to very costly items like buying new airplanes and the fuel that they have to use. And once the airplane takes off, their inventory, which is the seats, if there's empty seats, they can't sell it. It's not like an old seat, I'll sell it at half price. It's gone. I'm just not keen on the business model. Now, having said that, I have bought airlines in the past. Don't think I just avoided them. When there's an opportunity, you take the opportunity. It's just that it's not something that I, you know, am keen on to hold on for long term. Now, Alaska Airlines is a very well-run airline. Okay, the P.E. ratio is 10, and you would say, well, gee, that's a good P.E. ratio, but their range is 8 to 15, so it's always been a lower P.E. ratio kind of deal. The earnings are going to go down this year, but then up the next year, $7.44 a share. It's a $64 stock, so that means the P.E. ratio is going to go down to 8 or 9, and that's the low of its range. Okay, so right where it is at $64 to $65 is probably a pretty good buy point. Okay, pretty good buy point. Now, they're going to have to absorb Virgin America Airlines. That might be kind of difficult, so you might have to wait a couple of years before that really pans out for them. But it is a good buy point where it is now. Okay, Michael?
Excellent. Thanks so much.
Appreciate the call. Thank you for the call. I appreciate it. It's got a huge cash flow, very well-run airline. Don't think I don't like it. It's well-run. It's the industry that I don't care for. We're down to our last 10 minutes of the day, everybody. If you have something to ask or comment about one of our talking points or previous caller, call. Let me just ask. 888-99-CHART. We have just a few minutes left on this Wednesday, so let's include your voice in the talk.
Get back to your calls on InvestTalk for this Thursday, March 8th. Take this pop quiz. See if you know how to handle your money and avoid scammers. Can you pass the financial smarts test? Steve and Justin hope you can join them for that quiz. Do you have a question for Steve right now? 888-99-CHART is how to reach him on InvestTalk.
Hi, guys. My name is Paul. I'm calling from Sacramento, California. And I had a question about making an order. So when I do an order online through my brokerage, I have a choice between the limit order and market. So I understand what they mean. I'm just curious as to what type of strategy or thinking would be behind making a market order, if you have little or no control over the actual price of the stock that you're going to buy or sell. Your guys' input in this would be really cool, because I have no idea why you would do a market order as opposed to choosing your price. I'm looking forward to hearing on the podcast. Doing a great job. Thank you. Bye.
Okay, market orders, when you put that order in, everybody, it executes immediately at the very next trade. I mean, whatever the price is, whatever the person's asking for, who's selling. So if the person's asking for $50.50, you put in a market order, and that's what they're selling at, you get it. Okay, $50.50 immediately. That's what a market order does. It it executes the trade immediately. Limit order says, well, I don't want to pay $50.50. I want to pay $50.25. And that's the limit that I want to pay. So you put that order in at $50.25. And if that stock never goes down, you won't get filled. That order will not be executed. Now, why would you do a market order? Well, one of the reasons you would do a market order is because you don't really care. What if it's a huge company, let's say ExxonMobil, Johnson & Johnson, and let's say the difference is one or two pennies between the bid and the ask. Well, and you don't really care because it's so huge, you just want to own the company and get it on, you just don't care about a penny or two. That's the reason why you would put a market order. You want to own the stock now, and you don't want to try to play with a limit order, and you may not get filled. That's all. There's nothing, no other reason. By the way, I never do market orders. I don't. I always put a limit order in. 888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. Now, former Bank of England economist warns QE may never end. Remember I mentioned earlier in the show? This is David Miles. He says, especially in the UK, not just the EU. He thinks in the UK. Remember, the UK, United Kingdom, is breaking away or in the process of, or however you want to describe it, away from the EU. So he's thinking that meaning the UK, is never going to get away from their quantum easing. I'm not sure why this makes sense to anybody, really. Because, economics are economics, and we've distorted it so much, distorted the interest rate and the movements of interest rates so much over the last, 8 years now? Since 2008, 2009? I mean, it's so distorted that people are now getting used to this as the new normal. And that's what he says that this is going to become, David Miles, the new normal. These very extra low interest rates and huge balance sheets by central bankers. Well, our central bank, Federal Reserve, they're paring down their balance sheet. Okay, and they're increasing interest rates. Mr. Miles says that the United Kingdom is not going to do that. The central bank, the Bank of England, is going to keep their balance sheets high and keep their interest rates very low. Well, remember, interest rates are not subject to just what the bank wants to do. They're subject to market pressures. Market pressures is going to move interest rates. The central banks only control certain types of rates, not all rates. And our central bank only controls one rate, and that's the overnight rate, where the Federal Reserve loans money to banks. And then if the Federal Reserve increases the cost, the banks will increase their loan amount to you. That's how it works. And it's supposed to work in the opposite direction, too. And therefore, that allows the central bank to help move the economy in one direction or another. But what if the interest rates are so low that they can't? So what's going to happen? The central bank's influence on interest rates has become less and less and less. That's how I think it's going to happen. Time to wrap it up, everybody. A reminder, next week I'll be in San Jose for individual meetings with our listeners. It's next Wednesday, March 14th. I have one space left in the early morning. If you'd like to grab it, just go to investtalk.com and click on the InvestTalk button. Not really, really early. I think it's 9:30, I think. Anyways, I'm financial advisor Steve Peasley. Justin Klein and I want to thank you for making this part of your day. So let's meet here again tomorrow.
Because of the nature of the interactive dialogue inherent in the format of this program, it's important for the listener to understand that not all comments made will apply to them specifically. Nothing said shall be taken to be investment advice, or shall statements on this program be considered an offer to buy or sell securities. Such advice is rendered solely on an individual basis and at times will require that the investor review a prospectus before investing. InvestTalk is a copyrighted program of Klein Pavlis Peasley Financial, a registered investment advisor, which retains all rights. For more information regarding KPP's investment advisors, call 1-800-557-5461. Steve Peasley is president and Justin Klein, chief executive officer of Klein Pavlis Peasley Financial.